Chapter 3. Never underestimate the inclination to bolt. In the spring of 1982, I found myself on a payphone trying frantically to rent a helicopter so I could leave the 10-day silent Buddhist retreat where I'd been for exactly 15 hours. I'd returned from India a few years before and was searching for a spiritual path that did not include a frizzy-haired, beetle-sucking man who called himself the incarnation of God. My therapist, Kate, had urged me to sign up for the retreat, but she forgot to mention that I'd have to spend 15 hours a day meditating, and I'd forgotten to ask. Kate also neglected to tell me that I couldn't talk or make eye contact with anyone the entire time. The guy on the phone asked me where I was. In the middle of the desert, I answered, Joshua Tree National Park. There are no helicopter pads there, lady, and even if there were, you're talking a lot of money, thousands of dollars. It was the second day of the retreat, and I felt as if I was insane. In the shockingly silent meditation hall the night before, I had images of standing up and yelling, douchebag, douchebag, like someone with Tourette syndrome. Clearly, I needed to leave. I tried to think of alternatives to renting a helicopter, hitchhiking, begging, walking. None were feasible. Of the 150 people at the retreat, who I was now convinced were a cult of Buddhist zombies walking in slow, meditative stupor around the grounds, I knew no one. My dorm room with 15 women and one bathroom was crowded and stuffy. And despite the precept of nonviolence, I was ready to inflict great harm upon the snorer whose cot was next to mine, bang her over the head with a large cactus. Spending 10 days stuck in my own mind felt like being locked up in a cramped cell with a crazy person and not having any way out. $2,500, the helicopter rental guy muttered. And since my salary as an avocado and cheese sandwich maker at a local health food store in Santa Cruz was $600 a month, flying